Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, part of the Fansided Podcast Network. Now, please welcome your host, Adam Patrick.
All right, welcome to the Viking Age Podcast, the official podcast for thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for The Viking Age. Before we get started today, make sure to follow The Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook. The site's username on Twitter is at The Viking Age, and you can follow the site's Facebook page by heading to facebook.com/TheVikingAge. All right, on today's show, we've got Tyler Sawa. He is from the Pride Podcast, a podcast that covers the Detroit Lions, and he is on here because the Vikings and Lions are facing off in a brutal battle on Sunday, where basically loser goes home. I believe the Vikings right now are favored by 8.5 points. The game's in U.S. Bank Stadium, starts at noon Central Time. But welcome to the podcast, Tyler.
Thank you for having me, Adam. I'm glad to be here today and talk about this thrilling matchup. 1-3 Vikings versus the 0-4 Lions. Should be a great one.
Listen, you know what? The Vikings and Lions have had some pretty decent games.
As of late, you guys have pretty much dominated.
I don't think Kirk Cousins has ever lost.
He's never lost versus the Detroit Lions. I believe he's 6-0 versus the Detroit Lions. So
yeah,
so you know, the Vikings have dominated the matches before.
It was close last year, like two or three points. I think it was. That was like week 17, and people were just chucking the ball up and everything.
Yeah, I mean, a meaningless game. I mean, I guess it was the last game for Matthew Stafford as the Detroit Lion. Yeah. But overall, I mean, yeah, the first matchup, you guys dominated us in Minnesota. Dalvin Cook, I think, ran for like 200-plus yards versus us that game. And, you know, if you weren't already out on Patricia at that point, you were out by Patricia after that game.
Yeah. I think the last time I remember the Lions winning in Minnesota, I think it was overtime game.
I think it was the first year at your new stadium in 2017. Yeah.
Who's the receiver that used to play for the Lions that went to the Giants from the Seahawks?
Kenny Galladay?
No, he's from the Seahawks.
Golden Tate?
Yeah, Golden Tate. I think he had like an overtime catch where he like rolled into the end zone.
Yeah, we won the year after that.
Yeah.
It was in 2017. I remember it was, I think, Glover Quinn or Miles Kilburn. They punched the ball from Thielen. He fumbled. It was an ugly game.
That's when Dalvin Cook tore his ACL.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Tavon Wilson like went a little low, and yeah, he tore his ACL. But yeah, the year before we won that in 2016 as well.
Great, great memories from the Vikings and Lions.
I know. Right. Yeah, I remember Thanksgiving too, 2016.
Darius
Slay intercepted for the game. That was amazing.
And I think the Vikings had the infamous Duck Duck Goose celebration.
On Thanksgiving. Yep.
On Thanksgiving next year. All right, let's get into it. All right, so Dan Campbell, he's the new head coach of the Lions, first year. I just want to know, I'm just curious, what was your reaction after his introductory press conference?
You know, it got a lot of bad rep, and it got a lot of good rep from, I would say, you know, the general media, and then I would say the local media. I would say the local media really, you know, they loved it. You know, it was something, it was new, it was energized. I think people were really into it. I think the national media kind of took a bad perception of, you know, Dan Campbell's think he's going to bite kneecaps. I think people, I don't know if they literally thought he was going to do it or, you know, I don't know. But it got a bad rep. People didn't think it was professional. You know, for me personally, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, I saw Matt Patricia for the last 3 years, a lot, you know, different tone, a lot more serious, a lot more secretive.
Good posture.
Yelling at media members. And, you know, to kind of see a little different side, a little more energy, a little more personality, I thought it was pretty cool. I think Dan Campbell overall, in a sense, being the coach of the Lions in his very short tenure, you know, he's had obviously a lot of personality. And, you know, I think it's been really cool. So as far as the first introduction of when they hired Dan Campbell, you know, I was in, you know, I thought it was really cool. You know, as far as a coach, I think there's more questions, but as far as getting the guys ready and, you know, that introduction, I had no problems with that. I thought it was actually really cool.
Yeah. I mean, and that's all that matters. You want the local reporters, you want the local fan base to be in. It doesn't really matter if the national fan base doesn't agree, because they're not what matters. All right, so I'm not sure if some people listening now know how Campbell got the job, but what do you know about, you know, why they decided to give him the job over maybe some other candidates?
Why they gave him the job? I mean, I don't know why they necessarily chose Dan Campbell over a guy like, I don't know, Robert Saleh. Right. I know there was some interest, and they were interested in the college ranks of Matt Campbell from Iowa State. Right. I know they I think offered him a deal. I don't know how true that was, but they supposedly offered him a deal, and I guess he rejected it and stuck at Iowa State. But you know, Dan Campbell, you know, I think why they chose him, just his personality, and you know, it's going to be a complete culture change from what it was in the past. And obviously there's a lot of bad rep from the former players and, you know, the fan base of how bad the last regime really was for the Detroit Lions. So I think they went in with the mindset that we're going to pick someone completely different from what it was last and see if this works. And something they did different as well without just hiring Dan Campbell. Last time they gave, you know, all the power to the general manager, Bob Quinn at the time, to hire his next head coach, which ended up being Matt Patricia. They obviously went a long ways from the New England days. But with this one, it was more of an arranged marriage, I guess you could call it. It was ownership and, you know, some people that they hired this offseason, like Chris Spielman, a former Detroit Lion. You would know Spielman, his brother, Rick Spielman, he's their general manager. You know, his brother, Chris, is now part of our front office. So they went in, came to a decision that they're going to arrange a marriage instead of hiring a GM first and then having the GM handpick his own coach. What they thought was, we're going to pick our own coach, we're going to pick our own GM. Two guys that we really like, two guys that, I guess, passed our process of getting the job, and that's what they did. So I think, I guess, Campbell stood out in his interview specifically, and, you know, he won the job, and, you know, they liked him enough to give him a six-year deal. You know, that's a little longer than usually a first-time head coach gets. Usually maybe it's 4 or 5 years, and they're giving Campbell the benefit of the doubt. They're going to give him time to build this thing, so they gave him a six-year deal. So I guess it would just be something that he stood out in his interviews, and you know, he's coming from a good tree as well. Sean Payton, you know, is a very good coach in the NFL, very smart head coach, and you know, Sean Payton is one of his mentors as well. So he's coming from a good branch of coaching. So I guess it was just something that stood out with the ownership and some front office members that they hired this offseason.
Yeah, I think Mike Zimmer actually mentioned earlier this week that he looked at Dan Campbell as a potential offensive coordinator for the Vikings this year. So obviously it seems like he's respected around the league, no matter, you know, what his way of doing things is on the outside. He obviously has the respect, and he's a former player, so those guys usually do pretty well with, you know, getting the locker room together and getting respect from other people. You mentioned the previous regime, which is Matt Patricia. You guys probably want to forget about that, but before he got there was Jim Caldwell, and in Lions they did pretty well, I feel like. Did they make a mistake by firing Jim Caldwell?
I would say no, just because it felt like we were kind of stuck in mediocrity. You know, it was first season 11-5, which was obviously a very successful season. They had a very good team in 2014. But after that, you know, it was just a lot of, you know, meh, average. And I think we could kind of relate that to the Vikings a little bit. I feel like some Vikings fans kind of feel that right now where, you know, you guys aren't, you know, pleased to where you guys are now, because you guys are, how I at least view, I might be wrong, but I don't think you guys are good enough to be a Super Bowl contender team, but I don't think you guys are bad enough to be in the top 5, top 10 in the NFL draft. Like, you guys are just kind of in the middle. You're kind of stuck. And that's how I kind of felt with Jim Caldwell. So I thought it was appropriate to move on off Jim Caldwell after 2017 and, you know, kind of bring in that head coach that could kind of take you to the next step and, you know, make you a legit contender. I'm trying to think of some examples on top of my head, I guess, that kind of happened. I would say in Tennessee a little bit, you know, Mike Vrabel comes in, kind of took over a 9-7 football team that was just consistently being 9-7, either just barely missed the playoffs or gets in with the last wild card spot, but kind of Vrabel gets the job and just takes that team to the next step. I think you can list them as legitimate Super Bowl contenders. I know they lost to the Jets last Sunday, but I think they're still a good team. And I think what Vrabel's done is a good job. And you know, I think there's just multiple examples around the league too. It's like you kind of bring in a coach and you're ready to take that next step. And I thought it was appropriate to move off Caldwell just because it's just felt like we were kind of stuck in that mediocrity. So I was completely fine with them moving on Caldwell after 17.
Yeah. You look at, even you go a little far back, you look at Tony Dungy going to the Colts. helping them get to the Super Bowl. Look at John Gruden going to the Bucks, helping that team get to the Super Bowl, or win the Super Bowl. So yeah, there's lots of examples of where you just need someone to just get you over the hump. And yeah, I do agree with you that the Vikings fans are like, you know, we've got all this talent. We got Justin Jefferson, Daniil Hunter, Dalvin Cook. Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we not winning games? And, you know, eventually it's going to come down to the coach. So it's going to get a little interesting over these next few weeks to see how everything goes. What would you say the Lions' current plan is for this year and maybe the next few years? Because they're 0-4 right now. Like, you would say that their goal is to get to the playoffs, but that's probably not happening unless, you know, there's a miraculous turnaround.
Yeah. I would say the fans' perception, at least most of us, I think they're pretty much all in agreement that this is a rebuilding type of year and that wins and losses are not as important as years previous or years to come, I would say, just because, you know, it's all about player development. I mean, we came into the season not expecting to have a very good football team, not expecting very many wins. And it's just mainly going to be a developmental year and kind of just the drought that the previous regime kind of left, you know, this current regime in. It was going to be difficult to have just a 1 year turnaround where, you know, you're going to be a contender right away or make the playoffs right away in year one of the Dan Campbell era. So, you know, I would say wins and losses, I would shoot those out the window right now just because they're not as important this year. Just it's all about developing players. You got 4 first round picks for the next 2 years. It's building, it's more of the big picture right now rather than this, you know, trying to compete in this short time window that we have right now. So I would say, you know, expectations are just take it week by week and who stands out, you know, in those weeks and who are going to be your building blocks when you look at this big picture in 2022 and 2023 and years on to go. So it's more about the big picture right now rather than, you know, what's going to happen this week as far as a win-loss. Like, I don't think many Lions fans care about if we beat the Vikings or not this Sunday. I mean, would they prefer it? Probably. Yeah. But I don't think it's as important this year compared to any other year. So it's mainly just, you know, let's rebuild right now. And I think every Lions fan's kind of got that, you know, mentality right now, I feel like.
So you mentioned development. So the Lions picked Penei Sewell with their number one pick this year, top 10 pick, to eventually be their franchise left tackle. I know he's started at right tackle in training camp, and then he's moved over to left tackle when he was playing. He's out this weekend already, I believe, that that was said today by Anthony Lynn, said he's probably not going to play, or they're preparing for him not to play.
Most likely, he's missed both practices.
But do you think the Lions are going to regret picking Sewell over someone like Justin Fields or Mac Jones?
I will say no, just because I think getting the trenches, both from the offensive line and defensive line, is more important right now than trying to figure out the rookie quarterback. And trust me, I love Justin Fields. I thought he was a good prospect. And, you know, I wouldn't have been mad with that pick. But I was really big on Penei Sewell as well. So, you know, I think reinsuring having a good offensive line, having a good defensive line is more important right now. And when you're ready to compete and when you think you're ready to compete, maybe that's next year. Maybe that's the year after. You have the luxury to get that quarterback, whoever you want at that point. It might not be the same prospect as Justin Fields as far as liking the guy, but I think right now it's just important getting the trenches right. It's a cliche, but you win in the trenches.
Yeah.
And, you know, you figure out that rookie quarterback maybe when it's a little more established right now. And then at that point, you're putting your rookie quarterback in a very good situation.
I mean, ask the Chiefs if you win in the trenches. They just got destroyed in the Super Bowl because they couldn't block.
Yep.
And then they went out and bought a whole new offensive line. So obviously
they
believe that as well. So don't regret passing on the quarterbacks, but you don't have the quarterback who was there for what, over a decade. Matthew Stafford is with the Rams now. Are you rooting for him? Or are you bitter? Like, what, how are you interpreting, how are you watching from afar, Mr. Matthew Stafford with the Rams this year?
Yeah. So hold up. I know the listeners can't see, but Stafford's my guy,
yes,
man. Stafford is my guy. I think I wouldn't say half of Lions fans are rooting against the Rams, but I would say it's like maybe a 70-30 swing right now, where I would say the 70% is let's see Stafford win. You know, we like this guy. We're happy for him. We want to see him win. And then I would say the 30% of fans are like, we like Stafford, but we wouldn't mind him losing to get a better draft pick. And like, you're right. And I can't fault you for that, you know, mind in that, you know, mentality, because it does favor us if the Rams stink. But
yeah,
as far as, you know, what Matthew Stafford did for the organization and of how good of a player he was for the organization, I'm rooting for the guy, man. I definitely am rooting for the guy. They're playing tonight on Thursday Night Football. I'm definitely going to be tuning in. I'm going to be watching for Matthew Stafford. You know, he's just one of my favorite players. And I think it's fine, however you think of it. If you want to root for the draft pick, fine. But I just don't think it was very realistic going into the year that thinking the Rams were going to be a bad football team. So I came in with the perception that the Rams are going to be a good football team. Now, after acquiring Matthew Stafford, you know, I think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender. So for me personally, I'm voting for Stafford. I'm all in for him winning. I mean, if he wins the Super Bowl and it's the 32 pick, and if he misses or if he makes the playoffs and, you know, loses in the second round, it's not a huge difference. It's from the 32nd pick to
there's no
28, 27. Like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And in the NFL, a first round pick is the first round pick. It's not like the NBA where a late first round pick compared to a lottery pick is significantly different. NFL first round picks are first round picks. So, you know, I'm cheering for Stafford.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson was the 32nd pick. So, that's perfectly fine if you get that. The guy he was traded for, Jared Goff, former member of the Rams, he's quarterback right now. How long do you expect Jared Goff to be the Lions quarterback?
It's a good question. I would say not too long. I think he's here for this year, and that I think more than likely he'll probably be your starting quarterback going into the season in 2022. Depending on what you do in the NFL draft, like even if you draft him, I still think he'll be the starter going into the season. You know, when they make the switch, that you know we'll see. They don't draft a quarterback, which is very possible going into next season. I think he'll be the starting quarterback. But the Lions got a lot of luxury right now. They got a lot of moving parts with all these draft picks that they don't have to rush a decision if they don't absolutely love a quarterback in the NFL draft. And you know, I think they have a good stopgap, good bridge quarterback in Jared Goff. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback by any means. But do I think he, you know, can make you, I don't know. Jared Goff's here just to not make you a laughing stock, basically. He's here just to kind of, you know, bridge the way. And I just, that's how I view of Jared Goff. And I think that's how I view him as his career going forward. And I compared it to a former Viking, Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's made a very good career being a good bridge quarterback. Bridgewater, pun intended. I think Jared Goff, you know, I could see something like that going the way with his career, maybe like a Ryan Fitzpatrick, like I mentioned, Teddy Bridgewater, and that's fine. I just don't think he's a franchise quarterback, though.
Yeah, the Rams got to the Super Bowl with him, so you know he can't be terrible. But yeah, that's a really good comparison, actually. Teddy Bridgewater, who's off to a great start this season over in Denver, kind of jealous that they're 3-1 over there with the former, actually, assistant Vikings GM leading the way over there.
Yeah, George Payton.
Yeah. Stealing it.
He was almost our GM. I mean, we had some interest.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. He's good. I feel like the Vikings were hurting a little bit this year in the draft without him, because he's the trade guy, and they usually they make like 17 trades, and they only make like 5 this year. So
no, I thought we were gonna get George Payton just because of the Spielman connection. Because we have Chris in our office, and obviously Rick. You know, George has been a very trustworthy guy, I would assume, you know, in Rick Spielman's office. So I thought it was very possible that George Payton could have been our general manager this year with Spielman being in our office.
That would have been interesting.
I know, NFC North rivalry.
All right, so what players, looking at the team now, what players give you hope for the future of the Lions?
There's a couple. I would say some. It just sucks right now because they had bad injuries. Like Romeo Okwara, I would definitely say was one of them. But then he goes ahead and tears his Achilles last game, and he's out for the remainder of the season. Jeff Okuda was another guy coming to the season that we were hopeful for.
Yep.
You know, he also tears his Achilles. He's out for the season. So Lions have an Achilles problem this year. So, but, you know, we still have some guys. I would say our offensive line overall is a lot of the guys in our offensive line are guys I'm hopeful for in the future and right now. Starting with Frank Ragnow, Penei Sewell, like we mentioned earlier, Taylor Decker, when he comes back from injury, he's also one of them, I believe. Jonah Jackson, he's another one on that offensive line. So I think we got 4 legitimate offensive linemen, starting offensive linemen for the long run, which makes me very hopeful. As far as some other offensive pieces, I'd say TJ Hockenson's one of them. I think he's kind of just becoming one of the top tight ends in the league. He's, you know, I think he's making himself a legitimate top five tight end. So him, he's one of them. Running back's a little tougher to count on the long run, you know, just because how long they last in the league. So Swift is a fine player, but as far as this whole big picture, it's hard to count on running back. So we'll take that more of a week by week basis more than the big picture. But if we're talking about the player itself, DeAndre Swift, absolutely. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, they still have a lot of work to do there. You know, they have some young guys that they drafted in the draft with Levi Onwuzurike from Washington, and then they got Aleem McNeil from NC State. Guys you're obviously hopeful for, but you just kind of want to see a little bit more. Still very young in their career right now, but those are some guys that you're going to definitely keep a tab on for the rest, you know, of this year and just as the years go on. Receiving core, you got two young guys. Quintez Cephas from Wisconsin, he's had his flashes. Drafted him on Ross St. Brown in the fourth round. He was really good in camp for this team and, you know, a little bit of a slow start coming into the season. But, you know, I think those are just some guys that I would keep an eye out for it, looking in this big picture. And there's some other guys that I'm missing right now, but those are probably the main guys, I would say.
I think I'm just happy that Marvin Jones isn't there anymore because I feel
he used to kill the Vikes, especially when Xavier Rhodes was there.
Oh, yeah, 4 touchdowns one game, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I remember. And we still lost that game.
Yeah, I don't. Like, he wouldn't. Like, he'd be okay for the rest of the season, but I feel like whenever he played the Vikings, he'd just be on fire. No,
that was definitely, like, his feel-good game. Like, he circles the Vikings every time he played the year. Yeah. I'd say a lot of teams in the NFC North probably circle the Lions. Like, oh, this is our feel-good game. I know Bears fans do that for the Lions. Mm-hmm. I would assume you guys probably do that for the Lions.
Yeah, these days, probably.
Yeah, these days. And I would say that's Marvin Jones when he sees the Vikings. He circles that day on that calendar. Or, I mean, maybe now the Colts because Xavier Rhodes is there. I think
Colts. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Right.
Yep. Yeah, I think he loves playing against Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah, and I'm sure Xavier Rhodes does not like playing against him.
No, we used to call the roads were open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they were wide open. All right, so speaking of the Lions and Vikings, obviously they play on Sunday. Just finish this sentence for me. The Lions will beat the Vikings if...
Oof. first of all, Dalvin Cook is looking like a very questionable player this week. He might not play this Sunday.
Even if he does, he's going to be hobbled.
Yeah, but even if he doesn't play, man, I still like Alexander Mattison. So I would say, like, if Dalvin Cook doesn't play, I like our chances. But, like, Alexander Mattison's just as good of a football player, in my opinion. Not Dalvin Cook, but I think he's a very talented football player, and he could start on another team.
Yep.
For the Lions to win this game.
Turnovers? Sure, lots of turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get like some tip balls, maybe on Kirk Cousins, forced turnovers. Jared Goff has to have his best game as a Lion and kind of has to flip back the clock to 2018. I guess that's the keys to win the game.
If you can get off to a fast start against the Vikings, usually that's a pretty big way to beat them. They're usually not good from, they're not built to come from behind.
Coming back. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been a problem for the Lions so far. They haven't really been able to get on to a hot start. I would say week two versus the Packers. Yeah, week two of Monday Night Football, they got off to a little hot start, but the Packers kind of responded. They're going back and forth on the second half. They kind of just dominated us. But and the other three games, I mean, we've had two halves of football with 0 points to start off the game. In the Ravens game, 0 points in the first half. The Bears game, 0 points in the first half. So the Lions are a little bit opposite. Like, they like to kind of, you know, wake up a little bit in the fourth quarter in the second half. So getting off to a hot start hasn't really been the forte as so far for the Lions team. So, you know, it's going to be a difficult game for them this week. But for them to win, Jared Goff has to flip back the clock. Okay. Got to get a run game going. And, you know, the defense has to cause some turnovers. I know it sounds a lot easier said than done, but I would say that it would be the keys of the game.
It's usually how you win most games in the NFL, turnovers and running the ball well. That's what Mike Zimmer wants to do every week, but it hasn't worked out. All right, last question to get you out of here. So I think feel like during the off seasons, we usually see some like pain rankings come out or like most snake bitten franchises. And the Lions usually aren't at the top, even though they've hardly had like much playoff success. Do you think that's fair to not have them at like the top of these kind of rankings? Or do you think that they deserve to be more like recognized as a franchise that's gone through so much because they haven't had as much playoff success?
Yeah, I mean, there's no secret. The Lions have only won one playoff game in the last 60 years. Yeah. I mean, it's been brutal. There's no hiding around it. So I do think they should be high on these lists. There's no secret that this team hasn't been good in many, many years. The fans recognize that. And, mm-hmm. Funny story, it was week three. So they were doing the Calvin Johnson halftime ceremony yep. for his Hall of Fame. And the ownership was speaking to the fans, mm-hmm. for Calvin Johnson's Hall of Fame ring ceremony. Mm-hmm. And this is like probably their first time speaking in front of the whole entire fan base, or I'll say the fan base in public. The first time I can remember personally. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a memory that, the ownership just stood up on a podium where the fans were there and that they could kind of just let their emotions out. To keep it frank, the Lions fans booed very heavily, very heavily. You couldn't hear one word that Sheila Ford-Hamp was trying to say that Sunday, trying to introduce Calvin Johnson's ring ceremony. And obviously, Calvin Johnson and, mm-hmm. and the Ford family have, they're not on great terms right now. Mm-hmm. It's gotten better, but they're not on great terms. Even Calvin Johnson there, he was saying, pipe it down a little bit, guys. Come on. Yeah. He goes, I know you love me, but pipe mm-hmm. it down a little bit. But, I do think the Lions should be probably higher on those lists for just being a brutal team. I mean, Lions fans, they are brave, man. They've gone through so much right. heartbreaking losses, so much heartbreaking games, getting screwed over, just not finishing the deal. Like we were saying before the show even started, Justin Tucker kicks a 66-yard field goal to beat the Lions, makes NFL history. To beat the Lions. Like, that only happens to the Detroit Lions.
Or the Falcons,
sure. But, yeah, I mean, they have, that curse of, Arthur Blank, their owner, being mm-hmm. on the field. They always right, something goes right, wrong. Right. I mean, with the Lions, it's just always something, man. Uh-huh. Or, in 2015, we're ready. We're making a big comeback. We're going to run the table, make the playoffs. Nope, Aaron Rodgers says, screw all that. I'm going to throw a Hail Mary to Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Motown Miracle. I mean, the Calvin Johnson rule. I mean, the catching of him going down, clearly a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Seattle game, Monday night, bats the ball out of bounds.
Uh-huh. The Cowboys game, playoff game.
Oh, yeah. That's probably the worst of them all, So it's always something every single year. So, I mean... Lions, like I said, they're soldiers, man.
I just felt like they didn't get enough because, I see the Vikings and, Browns in there, and I feel like they are higher up because they have, they've had the most maybe, public and brutal heartbreaking losses, Gary Anderson and Blair Walsh and some of the Browns stuff. But then, you look at the team like the Lions, and I feel like some people even rank the Jets higher than the Lions in these rankings, and, they've won a Super Bowl. Yeah. For the people that have been Lions fans for 30 years, they've got to be what am I doing?
Win was 1993.
The winning the whole division?
Or 1994, sorry. Yeah. Last time winning the NFC North was 1994. And last time winning a playoff game was 1991. And then Scott Mitchell. And then before that was 1957.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah,
I think ours is just not as public, maybe, because, not all of them are national TV games, maybe outside the Dallas game and mm-hmm. the Hail Mary game, because that was a Thursday night game. But, I look at the Vikings, you guys have some spectacular moments, the Minnesota Miracle, mm-hmm. that was amazing. You guys had your moments, but, I agree, man. The Lions, I feel like they kind of get off the hook of... by the media saying we don't get screwed enough, which we do.
Yeah. It's just in a more, I feel like maybe consistent way. The Lions are losing again because it's
Lions. Just the Lions. Yeah. It's the Lions. So yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. Cause they're cursed or whatever. All right. Where can people follow you on Twitter, Tyler?
They could follow me at Tyler_Sawa, SAWA.
And you're part of the,
Pride podcast. So yeah, we talk about the Lions. We do about 3 to 4 shows a week. So if you guys are interested in the Lions, we do a pregame, postgame. We do some live shows. So if you guys are interested in that, I know you guys are probably mainly Vikings listeners. So stay tuned when we play the Vikings. We did a pregame with the Vikings.
Lots of Lions fans probably listening to this. No, probably not. But yeah, go check that out. Subscribe. to their podcast. I'm guessing it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, yeah, wherever you get your podcasts. It's on Blue Wire, so it's everywhere. And go check out this podcast, the Viking Age Podcast, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But until next time, we will talk to you later.